Welcome, and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we continue in the book of Acts. Acts is the only biblical book that chronicles the history of the church immediately after Jesus' ascension. As such, it provides us with a valuable account of how the church was able to grow and spread out from Jerusalem into the rest of the Roman Empire. In only 3 decades, a small group of frightened believers in Jerusalem transformed into an empire-wide movement of people who had committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And the lesson? God wants His message of hope and salvation to extend to all people. Now, with today's message, here's Charles Golson.
Good morning. So before I came to work here at church, I worked at a place called Midway USA. And in Midway, there's a place in the back of the warehouse, and it's called Repack. So what happens in Repack is we buy these bulk products. And then you take these millions of bulk products and you put them in these little baggies one at a time and you put a little sticker on there. And it's so monotonous. It takes hours and hours. And honestly, that was like my least favorite part of the job. It was so boring. But one cool thing about Repack is you get a chance to really talk to your coworkers. So I remember one specific day I was sitting there repacking with a bunch of coworkers. And we were just talking about our lives, and I was able to bring up church, and I was hoping eventually I was going to get to the gospel. I had no idea, but I was talking to them about church, and all of a sudden, a guy who was at a different table comes over to our table. I was not ready for this at all, and he claimed to be a Muslim. He was a very charismatic guy. A lot of people liked him, but out of nowhere, he said, "Is it really true that Christians believe that everyone who isn't a Christian will go to hell?" So he puts me on the spot right here in Repack with all these people, and I'm like, I could just feel the pressure just come over me. I turned red, and I was nervous, like, how do I get through this? But at that time, I feel like God gave me exactly the right words to say. So I told him, I said, it is true. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. I didn't come up with this. Christians, we didn't come up with this. Jesus is the one who spoke these words, and we merely just believe what Jesus said. And it was amazing. That actually disarmed him, and I was worried that he was going to start this great dispute, but he didn't say anything further. And that was a chance to share the love of Christ with everyone who was there. So it was a very difficult situation, but I was actually able to share the love of Jesus with everyone who was there. So even though this was one of the most difficult situations I've probably been in faith-wise, I knew that I had to do one thing, and that was to speak truth. The truth isn't always popular. It wasn't popular with that one man, but the truth is powerful. So today we're covering Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15, and we're looking at the story of Stephen and how he spoke truth in a very difficult situation. So you can go ahead and open your Bibles right now to Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. So in this passage, we have Stephen. He's surrounded by all these lost people and people who oppose him. But those people who are opposing him, those are people who desperately needed to hear the truth. In my situation at Midway, I was surrounded by many people who weren't Christians. They were lost. And several people who opposed the Christian faith, but those people, they desperately needed to hear the truth. Each of us is often surrounded by people who are lost. They need to know Jesus. And they might be opposed to the message, but they desperately need to hear the truth. Even in difficult situations, we are called to speak the truth. As we look at the passage this morning, I want us to focus on 2 major questions. Who has God placed in my influence that needs to hear the truth? And am I prepared to speak the truth even if there will be opposition? If you would pray with me. Father God, just thank you so much for the opportunity to come together as a church and to worship you this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word and just all the guidance and wisdom that is there. Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that you would also encourage us this morning. I pray that we would leave changed and that we could focus on speaking the gospel truth. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and in Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So here we pick up the story from last week. Last week we saw the apostles, they called Stephen as one of the seven new leaders in the church. And here we picked up the story. So Stephen is one of the leaders in the church, and it says about Stephen that he was full of grace and power. And then earlier in Acts chapter 6, it said he was full of the Spirit and wisdom, and he was also full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So we have all these amazing descriptions about Stephen, how he was this great and godly man. But guess what? These descriptions could be used of each of us who are Christians. Ephesians 2:8 said, "For it is by grace we have been saved." God has already poured out his grace on us. We should be full of God's grace. He has saved us. And then in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So we each have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So do we not have the exact same power that Stephen had? So we are full of grace and we are full of power. We have exactly what Stephen had. But why do we have that? God gave us this power and this grace for a reason. For Stephen, it was so he could do these great signs and wonders. Stephen used God's power to perform signs and miracles that we see right here. And he was actually the first person outside of Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament to do these awesome miracles. And that's really cool, but I honestly don't think that's the most important part for us to focus on here. The important part was that Stephen was using his God-given gifts to stand out from the rest of the world around him. Well, can we not do the same thing? How can we use our God-given gifts to stand out from the rest of the world? I'll throw a few ideas out there. Maybe it's a kind gesture at work. Maybe it's a service project somewhere out in Colombia. Maybe it's spending time with those who are neglected and forgotten. We can do exactly what Stephen did. Maybe we won't perform a great miracle, but we can serve those around us. We can make a difference. In my story at Midway, all I did was just take an interest in the lives of my coworkers around me. And then that opened the door for me to be able to share my faith with them. No matter what the situation is, it's gonna be different in all of our lives. The goal is the same. We are to serve people. The reason that we serve people is so that we'll look different from the rest of the world, and then we'll have the opportunity to speak truth into their lives. For everyone who's been down to Haiti, so we go down to Haiti, what do down there? We put tin roofs on houses. We give food out to the people. We fixed a road while we were down there. We did all these things. We met all these physical needs. Is that why we were down there? That's not why we were down there. That was just the beginning. We did those things so they would ask, "Why are you doing these things? No one else is helping us. We're dirt poor. We have absolutely nothing. So why are you doing this?" And then that gives the Haitian, I can't speak Creole, unfortunately, but that gives the Haitian leaders the chance to say, "Well, let me tell you why we're doing this. Let me tell you about Jesus." That's why we serve those around us. That's why we stand out from the rest of the world, so we get that opportunity. It also said that Stephen was among the people. The people that we need to be among the most is the lost people in this world, and that's exactly who Stephen was among. In Acts 1:8, it says, it said that we're to go to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and all the world. So we are actually called also, just like Stephen, to be among the people. But I think it's interesting in this passage, Stephen's not just out among a random group of people. In Acts chapter 6, verse 9, it mentions the synagogue of the freedmen. So Stephen was actually around his people. Stephen went and performed these miracles around the group of people that had a common background in Greek and culture and intellect. They were similar to him. These were people that he knew, that he walked with every day. So he didn't just randomly go out there. He went to the people that were in his circle of influence. So who are the people that we encounter every day in our neighborhoods and in our jobs? Are we among those people? Is our heart to serve and to reach the people that are in our circle of influence? Moving on, it said that they disputed with Stephen. And I read in my studies that this synagogue that's mentioned, the synagogue of the freedmen, it was common for that synagogue to have debates over religious issues. Because many of the members who were members of this synagogue, they were former slaves or they were descendants of slaves. So you have these people from pretty much all over the world who had been slaves at one time. And so they're very cultured. So it would make sense that they would have these debates because they've experienced all these different religions and thoughts from all over the world. So it makes perfect sense that there would be this debate that would happen. And then another note about the synagogue, it said earlier, the place Cilicia, we know for sure this is where Saul was from, who later becomes Paul. And many believe that Saul actually went to this very synagogue, which would also explain why there was so much persecution coming from this specific synagogue. We don't know that for 100% sure, but there's a good chance. But so we have Stephen, full of grace and of power, and he's out among the people, and he's performing these miracles. And now we have people, they're starting to ask questions, just as I think I would. Why are you doing this? Or how are you doing this? And so they start this debate with him, but then what happens? They could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit. Luke 21:15 said, "For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict." It's interesting to me that in my story from Midway, I was so nervous. I had no idea what I was going to say, but at just the right time, I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me the exact words that I needed to say. Even crazier is that no one refuted what I said. Why did they not refute what I said? It's because speaking the truth is powerful. Those arguing with Stephen could not overcome the wisdom that came from the Lord. It wasn't Stephen's wisdom. It was wisdom that came from the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk just a little bit more about why the truth is so powerful. One thing about the truth is when you give someone the truth, they have the opportunity at that point to either reject the truth or accept the truth. So sometimes the truth divides. Jesus even said that he came not to bring peace, but a sword. And what did he mean by that? He meant that he was going to come and preach the truth, and many people were going to reject that truth. Even people in different households, maybe the mother was going to accept and the father was going to reject. So Jesus understood that the truth can divide, but there's something greater that the truth can do, and that it can transform the lives of the lost people. One more note from this section of verses, it said he was speaking. Stephen ultimately spoke the truth. This has to always be our end game. Just serving people is great, but that doesn't meet the greatest need in their life. That doesn't tell them that Jesus died for them. So when we serve, that's awesome, and we should definitely do that. But our end game must be, how can I use my service or my kindness or my love as a means to share the gospel with those around me? Acts chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. "Then they secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, 'This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us.' And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." So in the beginning of these verses, it said they instigated men. I think that's pretty interesting. So Stephen speaks the truth and they don't want to hear it. So what do they do? Unfortunately, they did not accept the truth here. Many of them rejected it. At least the leaders rejected the truth. So they instigated these men. So speaking the truth wasn't popular with this particular group. But guess what? That is what Stephen was called to do. That is what we are called to do. But I want to talk a little bit more about the truth that Stephen gives here. I've been talking a lot about the truth. The truth that Stephen gives was actually the gospel. That's the truth that he gave to his audience. And we can tell that if we look in verse 14, he talks about Jesus of Nazareth and words that Jesus spoke. So Stephen was actually giving the gospel message to his audience in a way that they would understand it. That's what this truth that we are to speak is. It's we're supposed to give them the gospel message to the audience in a way that they will understand it. It's going to be different in every situation. But I think the important thing here is that we have to care more about people on the inside than the outside. There's a Casting Crowns song that I love. It's called What the World Needs. And one of the lines in there says, God's got to change her heart before he changes her shirt. So a lot of times our focus is, wow, can you believe that that person would wear that shirt or that outfit? Or, you know, we get judgmental and we look at the outside. I can't believe they're living like that. But our concern should be that people come to know Jesus. This is what's going to transform their life. If I say, hey, you shouldn't wear that shirt, do you think that's going to transform someone's life? There's no way. They're probably going to get really mad at me. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people of their sins. So who here has been to the campus at Mizzou? At Mizzou, there's a circle of bricks, and a lot of people come and talk there. They call it Speaker Circle. Anyone is free to come and say whatever they want there. There's a man there named Brother Jed. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. I have personally witnessed him speaking several times, and this is what he does, and it's crazy. He will look at someone and he'll say, you are fat, you're gonna go to hell, or you smoke a cigarette, you're gonna go to hell, and he will scream these things at people. And it makes people so mad, and they get mad and they start arguing with him. And I never ever hear him present the truth of the gospel. I never see him show people love. He's so focused on the outward sin in people's lives that he neglects to see that they need Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to transform their life. Yelling at him, calling him a sinner is not going to change their life. It just makes them mad. And the madder they get, guess what? Just like in this story where they go and get other people, these people do the same thing. They'll go and get their friends and they'll gang up on Brother Jed, or they'll bring the Bible and say, well, the Bible says this. And you know, that is not what we are called to do as Christians. And I know in my life, I've been guilty of that before. And usually when that happens, my wife, she calls me Judge Judy to give me a reminder that, you know what? You're being too judgmental. And so that's a good reminder to me. I need to care about the inside. I need to care about, does this person know Jesus? Not, are they wearing the right shirt? Are they following God's law exactly? Because guess what? If they're not a Christian, they're not going to follow what the Bible said. They need Jesus. Continuing on, it said that he spoke against Moses and God. So why did they get so upset with Stephen here? I think the reason is because to the Jews, nothing was more precious than the temple where they worshiped and the law that was given from Moses. And so when they see Stephen saying what's going to happen to those, Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. And now the temple is Jesus in our bodies. We are the temple. They can't accept this truth. And they're unwilling to give up the lifestyle that they're leading. They're confronted with the truth, but they can't accept it. And I think that's why they get so mad. And it says later that they stirred up the people. There's always going to be people in our lives who are going to reject the truth, and they're going to become angry. And they may even stir up trouble, and they may attack, but guess what? We are still called to faithfully speak truth. The truth I talked about earlier, that's the gospel truth. I'm not advocating that we do this in an unloving way, but I'm also not advocating we can't cower away. If Stephen would have cowered away, we'll see in the next chapter that Stephen is actually stoned and he dies, and the disciples go throughout all the nations, and actually the gospel is preached all across the world because he did not cower in this instance. It was very hard, but he stood up and he spoke the truth, and that truth had a great impact on the church forever. And it also said here that they called false witnesses. So the false witnesses here, actually what they said was pretty much true. Stephen said all the things that they said that he said. What the false part was is they were testifying against a spokesperson of God, and they were trying to misrepresent the intentions that he had. But isn't that exactly what these groups in the U.S. do all the time to us? They'll grab a Bible verse and they'll pull it out of context, and then they'll try and attack the Christian faith. They'll say, see, look at this crazy Old Testament verse that they don't even understand. And they'll say, see, look how horrible Christians are, or I can't believe you would worship this God. Look what he did in this passage. We have to be ready to correct those false notions. But as we do that, our focus has to be on the gospel. So I hang out with Luke a lot. when he's actually here and not on sabbatical. When we're out with him, multiple times people would try to debate the gospel, just even the Christian faith. They'll try to debate with Luke. And what he does that's so amazing, and it taught me so much, he always steers it back to the gospel. I've heard him tell people on multiple occasions, you know what? I'm not an expert in that field, but this is what I do know. I know that Jesus Christ saved my life, and he'll give them the gospel. He doesn't get lost in the weeds. Me personally, when I was younger, I always got lost in the weeds. I never made it to the gospel. We can't get lost in the weeds, and we can't call out people like Brother Jed did, because that's not what's going to change their lives. Getting lost in the weeds is not. Sharing the gospel, that's what's going to change their lives. At the end of this passage, we see here it said that Stephen, his face was like the face of an angel. And if we go back to the Old Testament, we remember Moses coming down off of Mount Sinai. What was his face like? It was shining just like this instance. So this should have been a warning to the leaders. You know, they would have known this. They were getting so upset because they felt like he was attacking Moses. And yet we see this same thing that happened to Moses. We see God's glory being revealed to the leaders through Stephen. Unfortunately, they did not heed this warning, but I think that God's glory will also show through each one of us when we are faithful. And I think another awesome thing is that this was a great comfort to Stephen in this situation. And the reason that I believe it was a great comfort to him, because in the next chapter, right after this, what's he do? He goes off and he preaches one of the greatest sermons of all time. He's like amped up. He feels the comfort of God. He's standing trial before the council, and then he goes off and preaches one of the greatest sermons ever. So many times in the military especially, but also through various jobs I've worked, I've had the opportunity to talk about God. And guess what? A lot of times people were opposed to what I was going to say, but those people needed to hear the gospel. And what really bothers me sometimes is that there was times I knew they needed to hear the gospel and I did not faithfully speak it to their lives. The gospel cannot transform lives if it's never spoken. So I really thank God for faithful witnesses like Stephen. And I also thank God that because of his grace, the good news is that we still, every person in this room who's still alive, we have the opportunity to speak truth into the lives of people around us. So I want to make this message just a little bit more personal this morning. Are you actively serving the people God has placed in your influence? And I want you to really think about that. Who are the people in my influence? Where do I go shopping? Where do I work at? Who are my neighbors? Are you actively serving the people God has placed in your influence? Are you willing to speak truth even if it isn't popular? Do you really believe the truth has the power to transform lives? If we don't believe that, we're not going to be convicted that we have to share that truth. Do you ever forget that God is with you? As a church and as individuals, we must be actively serving the people who are in our circle of influence, but we must use that service as an avenue to speak truth, even in difficult circumstances. The truth is not always popular, but it is powerful. So speak truth, if you would pray with me. Father God, just thank you so much for your message from Acts this morning. Lord, I pray that we would remember that we're full of the Holy Spirit and we have power and we have your grace, Lord. And I pray that we would use that power to share the gospel with those who desperately need it. Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom and the boldness to speak truth even in difficult circumstances. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.